Good morning, Summit. It is great to be together today. We have been walking through our sermon series over the past few weeks, and we have been looking at those ways to become more like Jesus. And it's how to integrate growing and learning into our daily lives as we walk with God. And personally for me, I have seen God do lots of great things. He uses me pretty regularly. Just this last week even, I gave my kids, well, two of them, the high school ones, Sophia and Liam, a fantastic discipleship opportunity when I forgot what cohort they were in and completely forgot to pick them up from school. And this was a rich opportunity for them to grow in patience and in peace as they waited and waited and waited for me. I mean, I also gave a great opportunity to Sean, my husband, as I left the gas light on in our car for him, and as he was leaving to go on a meeting. And I think that God used this great opportunity to cultivate in Sean's life gentleness and self-control. You know, sadly, I give many, many opportunities to my family that they can grow in Christ likeness, and I'm joking as I say this, but not joking, right? God uses our relationships with other people to grow us. Relationships are this awesome context where we can work our stuff out. This is where we are headed today: discipleship in relationship, love in community. So let's pray before we head in. Jesus, how good it is to gather today as your people, and how we are hungry and eager and ready to meet with you. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come now, and that you would settle our hearts in humility, that you would open us wide to receive your word, that you would give us fresh understanding and new learning. Today, we love you, and we commit our time to you now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So as we've been walking through Train, this has been a sermon series where we are exploring discipleship to Jesus Christ. And last week, we learned about how to grow our faith and how we need to intentionally arrange our lives and our schedules around practices, practices like prayer or studying, scripture, serving, opportunities where we can encounter God, and by his grace, he can develop us in becoming more like him, more like Jesus. But discipleship isn't limited to just this, right? We need to understand Jesus more deeply. We need to grow in our wisdom and our knowledge of God. But it is about taking our knowledge and living it out. It's moving from ought to is, right? It is to our knowing and our doing, right? And it must be sincere. As we think for this morning, for example, right? We can join in with the worship team and we can belt out our favorite songs, but without love for God, right? This isn't worship, it's just singing. Right? Or we could use our gifts and we can serve people, but if it's separate from faith, if it isn't love that's the reason why we're doing it, it's just a good thing. It's just a noble task. It's just work, right? When we read and study and memorize scripture, we want intimacy with God. And if we don't have that, if God, our love for God, is not the motivating factor, that's just academic. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. Right? Love. It's inseparable from our growth. God shapes us and he grows us through our relationships. He just doesn't want our obedience. He wants relationship with us. And he invites us to love him and love him with everything that we've got, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our strength. And Jesus also says in John 13:35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our call to love is so critical. It's by love that we are identified. It shows the world that we are Christ's followers. And it demonstrates to all those around us that we love Jesus. Love matters. It's the evidence of Jesus within us. It's the expression of Jesus through us. And Christ's call to kingdom love is so different than culture. When we love like Jesus loves, it distinguishes us. And that's because the love of Christ is extraordinary. God's love isn't like what the world shares, sort of this sentimental feeling or this affection for someone. It's not soft or easy. It's not an emotion that we express when we feel like it. Jesus' love isn't whimsy. It's not weak. It's not anemic. It's not frail. No, Jesus calls us into something that is so much more. Right? It's active participation in this world-changing initiative. It's an invitation to God's great gospel movement. And it transforms us personally, and it transforms socially. Right? Christ-like love is extraordinary. It's never ending. We could spend a lifetime talking about it, and it still wouldn't be enough time. But today I wanted to focus in on three characteristics. Three characteristics that we can go after in our growing, ways that we can cultivate our Christ-like love. And the first one is this: Jesus calls us to courageous love. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We are invited to love God with all we've got, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. 2, Jesus calls us to a universal love. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Christ-like love is for everybody, always. Those who are against us, we pray for those who mistreat us, we bless those who curse us. 3, Jesus calls us to sacrificial love. John 15:12-13 tell us, this is my commandment: love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus said the very best way that we can love is to love like he does, that we put our life on the line for our friends. Christ's love is courageous, it is universal, it is sacrificial. And this is what we want to look at. So how as disciples do we train in a love like this? How do we cultivate and develop this kind of Christ-like love? Well, before we go there, actually, I just want to say this. We must remember that God himself is love, right? God is love. He's the source of our love. And we can't do this apart from communion with Jesus. And we can't love like this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And cultivating love like this, a love that contradicts what we would naturally do, a love that challenges how we would naturally respond, well, we're going to need a power far greater than our own. We're going to need a perspective that's far wider than we could ever see, and we will need a source that is endless and boundless for love like this. Right? This is not something that we can do apart from God, so we need to remember this as we go. and talk about this. So how do we pursue then this Christ-like love? The Apostle John tells us we put it into practice. In 1 John 3:18 and 19, he says, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we are living, truly living in God's reality. We need to practice love. So how do we go after this first one then? How do we practice courageous love? Well, remember in Mark 12:30, Jesus said, love God with everything you've got and love our neighbors as yourself. We see here that it is absolutely necessary to be able to love ourselves. Loving ourselves is intimately connected with this capacity to love others. Jesus said if we're to love our neighbors, we're to love them like ourselves. And so if we don't get this right with us first, we're not going to get it right with other people. It's only as we receive God's love and his grace that it rolls out into the lives of others. Experiencing deeper and richer and fuller experiences of God's divine love for us is going to lead us into those deeper and richer and fuller experiences of God's divine love for others. The trouble is, we can be hard on ourselves. Can't we? I think that of all the shame that we can do, the mistakes, the unmet expectations that just affect us so. This chronic guilt, this sense of unworthiness, of not being good enough or smart enough or capable enough, and it just can spread through our hearts. We need to learn how to love ourselves through God's eyes. We are loved and known and accepted and forgiven. And then we're able to overflow in love for others. When we understand our needs and we can express them, and we learn more about ourselves and we learn how to articulate it, it is discovery of our nature, how to live in it and how to love through it. But without courage, we can't go here. It's only possible that we would manufacture relationships on a surface level, right? It's about a superficial connection. We worry about that possibility about being embarrassed or rejected or judged by other people. And then fear causes us to take this step back from vulnerability or intimacy in our relationships. And so we create these relationships with other people that lack a real depth of intimacy. And they're nice and they're shiny and they're great to look at, but the reality is there's no substance to them and they crumble and they fall apart. Shallow relationships don't give God a vehicle by which he can grow us, he can minister to us, he can shape us, he can teach us, he can encourage us through. Our growth will be stunted. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we can have all kinds of people around us, but we can still feel lonely or empty? And it's because we need people around us who see us deeply. And I'm not saying we share those same levels of intimacy in every relationship that we have. We don't share our fear or our disappointment or our pain with that cashier that's at Longo's. But what I'm saying to you is this. In our relationships, there is no room for fear in love. 1 John 4:18 tells us, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what we need to do is in our friendships, with our mentors in a life group, right? This is the space that we have courage to be vulnerable. right? It's a safe place where we can be seen and we can be real. And a safe place means one that offers dignity. It honors. There's trust. It isn't a place where imperfections would be criticized or solved or judged. Right? These are those deep places where we're made perfect by God in love. And it's in these places that we grow to be more like Jesus. And as I'm saying this, it reminds me of this one time in my life. I was so mad at God. You know, he had kept me waiting too long to answer. When he answered, it wasn't the way that I wanted it to be. I was left feeling rejected by him. I felt abandoned by him. I couldn't sense his presence. I couldn't feel his proximity. And I was frustrated, and I was lamenting, and the verse from Jeremiah came to mind. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I realized that God was inviting me to lay myself out with all of me. My howling pain, my failing hope, my battered faith, all of me. He wanted my whole heart. And that included my ugly, it included my unsightly, it included my embarrassing. He wanted me to come to him with my worship and my mess. And that is where I would find him. And that's where I would know him, and I would experience his healing in my life. And in this very same way, through intimacy with his people in our lives, God transforms us. It is to be known deeply and loved. It is to see others deeply and to love them back. This is raw, radical love received and raw, radical love given. And it's going to take courage, right, to grow in Christ-like love. We must practice courageous love. Number two, we also need to practice universal love. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It is, as Bob Goff says, God wants us to become love to everybody, always. And it's easy to like people who like us, don't you think? To be with people that we like, to love people who love us. But Jesus challenges us as disciples. He says, we can't just love the lovable. Anybody can do that. We got to love those who are against us. We got to pray for those who mistreat us. We got to bless those who curse us. We are to seek out the forgotten and the overlooked. We pursue the disadvantaged and the discouraged among us, right? We choose to live out of a position of love, no matter who the other person is or what they say or what they do. We make a commitment to be rooted in love, and that is to be like God. God relentlessly closed the divide between himself and mankind. When he sent his son Jesus to pay the price, to repair the disconnect that we created. And God never lets anything prevent us from him, right? He continues to move towards us, and he continues to respond to us in love. God loves difficult people and humble people. He loves bad decision-making people and obedient people. He loves people in high position, and he loves people in no position. God does not have favorites. He has good, abundant grace for us all. This is inclusive. And this is what we're called to, this kind of love, to love in the same way. And the trouble is, if we don't respond in a universal love, we just add more division, more violence, more fear, more hate. Retaliation moves us further apart. We go after people in our minds. We set our hearts against them. We use our words against them. We hurt them. We hurt ourselves. We create divide and disconnect. And we add to the problem that already exists. When we return our enemies' hate for hate, that just equals more hate. Bitterness will only bring about more bitterness, anger, more anger. When we respond to awful with awful, it equals more awful. Instead, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. That's how we overcome good. Good like love. Good like compassion. Good like forgiveness. And forgiveness is not oversight of the offense. It doesn't ignore it, but it does cancel the debt that keeps us bound to it. And it does break that barrier to make way for possible reconciliation. King said forgiveness is not an occasional act, but it is in fact a permanent attitude. It is to acknowledge that people are not their behavior. Each of us is filled with some good, each of us filled with some bad. And that thing that hurt us, it doesn't represent or express all that person is. Love, it covers, and it doesn't keep score, and it drives out fear. And it drives out suspicions and misunderstanding and divide. Because each of us is of infinite worth and infinite dignity. And we need to recognize, too, that we just don't have the whole picture. We only see in part. And because of this, we have to make room in our thinking for differences. For many of us, differences or conflict can call us to run for cover, right? Or we just push people away, we get threatened by them, and then we just go into this self-protection mode. It can cause us to instinctively react to them, and we try and control the situation so that we no longer feel the hurt. But Jesus says, be like me. Don't act out of fear. Right? Respond with love. And with compassion. We do not act out of fear. We act in love. Each of us, after all, are made in the image of God. And Jesus helps us to understand how we can love like this, love universally. He said on the cross, in Luke 23:34, he called out to God, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These were not bad people who crucified Jesus. They were spiritually blind. They didn't know any better. They were misguided. They were misinformed. Think of Saul before he became Paul, when he was persecuting the Christians, and then God enlightened his mind and opened his eyes. And that's why, like Jesus on the cross, we're called to pray for our enemies. We're called to bless those who curse us, to love those who are against us because they don't know what they're doing. We wouldn't punish a child for not knowing any better, right? We would train that child. We would treat the child with loving respect to help them understand from our perspective, from our experiences. And this is the loving response that God calls us to as well. Right? And then by his grace, he will bring about the change, the transformation, the enlightenment, and we all will grow and learn together. Because God's community is unity. We are one, and that must be the way of our life. As Christ followers, we can't live both separated and together. Paul helps us to understand the very necessity of togetherness in our body. He describes the community of faith as the body with different parts and different purposes integrated into life and in unity, working together. And what affects part will affect all. In biblical community, people can in fact disagree. That's life. That will happen. Right? But we remain a brother and sister in Christ. And if we can't do that, how would we preach our message of unity and reconciliation of Jesus to others in this world? Christ's love makes it possible to disagree, but to stay in relationship. Think about how it is with your spouse or with your kids. It is love that dominates the relationship, not the disagreement. Bishop Michael Curry says, "To love does not mean we have to agree, but maybe agreeing to love is the greatest agreement and the only one that ultimately matters because it makes a future possible." Universal love leaves no one behind. There's no outcasts because of disagreements or differences between us. There are no exiles because of unforgiveness. Universal love loves the lovely and the unlovely all the same. Jesus came for all, anybody and everybody. We must be like Jesus. We must practice making our love universal. And the last kind of love that we need to sacrifice, sorry, the last kind of love that we need to practice is sacrificial love. John 15, 12, 13 says, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus said we are to love others the same way that he loves us. This is fully and completely and abundantly and sacrificially. And Jesus demonstrates the very depths of his love when he left heaven and came to earth. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think about himself. He laid aside his divine privileges and he made himself nothing. He lived a selfless, obedient life and he died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death, death on a cross. And his love goes even deeper still. He died for us while we were still sinners. He didn't wait for us to get it together. And not that we could get it together on our own anyway. We're too messy. But his love demonstrates to us how great the cost and how abundant the grace. We didn't deserve any of it. And his love goes deeper still. And just think of all that he gives through it, from his forgiveness and reconciliation and new life and the freedom and the liberty that we live in, his presence, his power, our eternal hope that we have. This is height and depth and width and length. Who could understand the love of God? But as Christ gives, he calls us to give. We give the same way. We seek the good of others before ourselves. I read that love's opposite isn't hate, it's selfishness. Selfishness, it destroys. Right? Self is this demanding beast that devours, and bitterness and anger and anguish all build up, and then it starts to eat away inside of us. And entitlement just starts to rot us from the inside out, and self will drag us low into the depths of pride. And we start behaving the way that the world acts, people who are seeking their very own good. And Jesus says, no, love with agape love, love that is for someone else, not for yourself. Not a reciprocal love where we receive something in return for it. This is sacrificial love. This is radical love. It's love like God gives. It's love like Christ shows. It gives abundantly. He says love with a love that takes the lower place. Right? Don't push your way to the front. We demonstrate a love that serves. A love that helps, a love that gives and never gives up giving. when we surrender more deeply to the kind of love that Jesus wants us to know and to demonstrate through our lives, every day will provide opportunities to demonstrate this kind of sacrificial love. Whereas we can give our hearts and our time and our lives away as we mourn together, as we celebrate together, as we encourage one another, as we spur each other on, as we pray together, as we petition God and intercede for each other, we can wash one another's feet. And this is the kind of love that Jesus demonstrates. And this is the kind of love that we need to cultivate. In the book Tuesdays with Maury, there's a little story about a wave. I want to read it for us. A little wave bobbing along in the ocean, having a grand old time. He is enjoying the wind and the fresh air until he notices the other waves in front of him crashing against the shore. "My God, this is terrible," the wave says. "Look what's going to happen to me." Then along comes another wave, sees the first wave looking grim and says to him, "Why do you look so sad?" And the first wave says, "You don't understand. We're all going to crash. All of us waves are going to be nothing. Isn't it terrible?" And the second wave says, "No, you don't understand. You're not a wave. You're part of an ocean." And this is a picture of the powerful movement of God. He is inviting us to be a part of something so much bigger and so much more beautiful than we could ever see or we could ever understand. And if we only ever consider ourselves as waves and have this fear of losing ourselves, then we're going to forget the ocean and God's greatest good. We will rob ourselves of the greatest opportunity that we have to participate in this overwhelming, extraordinary, redemptive love of God in this world. Love that sacrifices for someone else. It leads us into the very best of things. It leads us to steady trust in God and an unswerving hope and an extravagant love. This is faith, hope, love, and the best of these is love, sacrificial love, love like Jesus gives. So in summary, to grow as disciples, we need to commit to growing in love. We need to love courageously. We're going to step into vulnerability. We're going to get real, and we're going to watch God work. We need to love universally. We're going to love people who are easy to love, people who are different, people who are difficult, even people who hurt us. And we're going to love sacrificially. We need to preoccupy ourselves with a love for others, right? Giving them our best, giving them our all. These three ways we can lean in and grow. And I'd like to close today with an invitation for us. It's found in the book, Love is the Way. And it talks about back in the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. asked the people who marched alongside of him to sign cards. And these cards were a commitment card. It was the 10 Commandments to Nonviolence. And the list of the commitments that King had created on this card, there was just one rule on marching. It was about following the procession and the captain. But the other rules, those were all spiritual rules. Things like meditating daily on the teachings of Jesus, walk and talk in the manner of love because God is love, pray daily, sacrifice the personal wishes so that all men might be free, observe courtesy, serve, refrain from violence of fist, tongue, or heart. And King believed that this commitment card would root people in the way of love. So perhaps today we can create our own. Maybe you want to use those three that we talked about. We commit to loving courageously, sacrificially, universally. Or maybe you want to make your own list. 3 things, 5 things, 10 things. But list them. Commit to them. And just imagine the possibility as we speak that over our lives, our hearts, our minds. This is the redemptive love of God sweeping through us, through our families, through our communities. Right? Make this commitment to love in community. And before we go, I just want to encourage us to remember that by Christ's love, whatever detours or trials or difficulties that life is throwing at you, we will overcome. Love has already won. And on those days that are heavy and dark and disease and anxiety and fear threaten to undo us, well, the church, our great fellowship of love, will shine her light. Right, brothers and sisters in Christ, powerfully united in love, God, the source, his people, his vessels, they will radiate his life and his light and his love to this world. When we love in community, God is revealed, his transformative power is put on display for all to see. God is love, and love we are becoming. So may we continue to step deeper into community with others. And may our relationships continue to be one of those greatest conduits for experiencing God and expressing Jesus' transforming love in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, our hearts are overwhelmed by your magnificent love. And we would run out of words trying to express our thanks to you. Jesus, we thank you that you sacrificed so much when you came to demonstrate what this looks like for us. And Holy Spirit, how grateful we are that you are with us every day, making this possible by your power. And so we ask you, God, that those things that you are showing us today, those ways to love more deeply, higher and wider and longer, would you make them real for us, that we would commit to them, and that we would love with all our hearts, you and others, for the sake of the world and for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.